Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everybody. I want to welcome to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and I'm excited. We are in our first, I guess it's the real chapters of this book. Yeah, I guess it's really true. This book. We are doing Faith for the Unbelievers by Daniel Cantor, and I'm going to go ahead and get our lovely co-host on. Miss Amy, how are you doing today?
I'm good, I think. I believe I am, but I'm not sure. But I believe I am.
You're working with that belief thing. Okay, that's good. Miss Elena.
I'm well, thank you. Happy to be here.
Happy to be here.
Happy to have you
here.
Are
you believing you're happy to be here, or are you're finding that to be true? Is it a belief or a doubt? Okay. Anyway, that sounds good. Yeah.
Great.
So this first chapter is about belief. And if you've gone back to our last couple shows, if you haven't had a chance to, because the title of our show is Belief versus Doubt, Returning to Its True Meaning. And one thing I really love about Daniel is he really gets into some of the different history and looking at different aspects of these words and these concepts that we're looking at. And because he talks about pre-modern understandings as opposed to where we are now. And I think that's really a neat thing to be able to just be looking at all those different things. And the last show we were all asked to, what do you think belief is before you read the chapter? So what did you think it was, Amy?
Something you stand for, something that you fight for, I guess.
Okay. Elena?
Well, yeah, I think for belief was maybe something you hope for.
What did you say, Amy? You stand for?
Stand
you
for, hold it, yeah.
Stand for, hold that it's true. Belief, for me, belief was basically just something that I've always known. It wasn't even a matter of me choosing. It was just a matter of, like, that's the way it is.
Interesting.
Yeah, I thought so.
Because,
I mean,
over time, my belief systems has definitely changed.
Uh-huh.
Just is.
And we shared last week that, another way of looking at it is belief is simply something you keep telling yourself.
Yeah.
So I guess that's kind of what I've been saying. I guess that's what I'm saying. You know, I just keep telling myself, like, yep, that's the sky's blue. I believe that.
Well, and this is kind of an interesting fun fact. I'm working on several different books projects simultaneously, like we do, especially if you're a work addict, like I are. And I'm working on the book, How Good People Fight Bias, which I'm not particularly thrilled with the fight part of bias, but they talk about that there is a significant difference between believers and builders, and that believers, in their definition, are people who believe in something, but they don't do anything about it, and builders are one that go out and make change. I'm not saying that's right or that's wrong. I'm just saying I'm looking at that. About what my belief about what a believer is.
Yeah, that's interesting. And Daniel talks about it in this chapter. It says, when it comes to belief, a lot of it refers to, having, just religious concepts, religious beliefs, so things like that. So he quotes Ken Wilber, a philosopher and writer. He says, belief is the lowest form of religious involvement, and in fact, it is often seen to operate with no authentic religious connection whatsoever. And I thought that was kind of interesting that it has kind of a religious connotation to it, because to me, belief goes way beyond, just your spiritual actress. So, I thought that was kind of an interesting event. Elena, what do you think about that?
Well, what I love about this chapter, about these, ideas on belief is how they go hand in hand with doubt. And that is one of the things I love about Reverend Cantor, is that he first opened my eyes to how that doubt could bring you belief. You know, it could bring you mm-hmm. faith, and that mm-hmm. you know, listening mm-hmm. to your doubts and helping and testing them could bring you greater faith, greater belief. And I love this chapter so much because he really does talk about the balance between those two, belief and doubt.
Yeah, I really love the whole doubt thing because I really hadn't looked at the chapter before that and all that. And we got into doubt. You know, he talks about, you know, being amazed. It's amazing and subtle at the same time. You know, it's a way of seeing the mm-hmm. world. It takes for granted, but there's no easy answers for when it comes to faith. And it made me automatically think about, you know, doubt to me has always been this negative thing, you know, like doubting mm-hmm. Thomas and all the other things that are out there for stuff. But to me, it was mm-hmm. it was just this new perspective about being able to be open to other options and allowing yourself to be curious and have, you know, a lot of possibilities of looking at something. You know,
right.
So that was just definitely a big, like, wow, I hadn't really thought of about it that way. What about you, Abe?
Well, at the very beginning, I say even the second paragraph of this section, he says, sometimes there's no arguing with people who have strong beliefs and that they're so confident that they're right that they refuse to see evidence against them, which borders on superstition. And I think that's when you don't put healthy doubt into your belief. I guess for me, especially mm-hmm. as a facilitator by trade, that I am willing to look at within this next sentence or two and really profoundly listening to somebody, I may change a belief that I held really strongly and I stood for and I fought for, and it's like, oh, that doesn't make sense to me now. And I think mm-hmm. doubt is an important part of that.
Yeah, yeah. As you know, he says to doubt is to seek.
Well, and Alan Alda, who I absolutely love, and he does a lot of work of helping doctors and scientists to talk to people and really help them to understand what's what they're trying to bring into the world or what kind of procedures will be done, you know, when they're in their healing. And what he says, he has these fabulous podcasts, Clear and Present, if you go to alanalda.com. And what he says is, I know if I'm listening, if I'm willing to be changed in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That just seems so wise.
You know, one of the scriptures, you know, Mark 9:24 always in the Bible has always hit me where he says, you know, I believe, but please help my unbelief. And, I remember being a person of religious affiliation that, you know, that was always a shameful thing to me, the shame of that. Like, I always needed help with my unbelief because I had unbelief in so many things to do with that religion. Mm-hmm. And then it quieted my curiosity. And so I love the opportunity to really, truly look at something and look at all the points around it and have the opportunity to have my belief systems changed. I used to have some really, I just think of myself as a youth and having some very immature beliefs and coming back to it now as a woman of middle age. And realizing the grace that there is in unbelief and in doubt and in curiosity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We can change, we can grow, we can be curious. Mm-hmm. But part of that, in my heart, is about finding the right people to be connected to.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like having a little bit of space to explore ideas with. Is that what you mean, Amy?
Yeah, I mean, I have certain relationships where, I can just, you say, I'm thinking and talking at the same time. I'm really not clear what I believe right now. And I can just really kind of go with that. And there are many people that if I attempted to do that, they would start coming at me and say, whatever, you're being flighty or you don't really, you know, have a strong belief or whatever. And maybe I don't know. But I'm exploring. And there are other people, and I guess as I'm even saying that, I also believe that there are people that knock us off center, so we really do look at our beliefs. I'm not talking about groupthink or I have to be hanging out with people who agree with what I'm saying, but mm-hmm. I like having a sacred space where I can explore what I believe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. So Daniel says, doubt is a seed that keeps us from settling for another's fruit. It is also, in a strange way, the first growth of deep faith. I think it's interesting that he, a way of being able to connect to the faith. A sign that mm-hmm. faith is alive and ready to grow. Doubt is nothing less than an opportunity to re-enter and examine the present. And what I love is being able to just use curiosity. So curiosity is a seed that keeps us from settling for another's truth. Curiosity is nothing less than an opportunity to re-enter and examine the present. Exchange those words and have it be where, the action of doubt is curiosity.
Well, and he talks about the story of that person who changed his belief system. He used to, be part of the slave trade, and he was born into it and realized, oh my gosh, this is, I don't want to live like this anymore. And changed his life. And what came to mind was the song "Amazing Grace," and that the author of that was the same kind of person. And that song birthed out of his realizing that I need grace here, and that I can change, and I'm going to change and live a different life once I realize who I was being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's wonderful. So I got led to be thinking about the flower power and a daisy energy, and with this whole thing of doubt and belief, thinking of the daisy where it is and it is not. So, you think of the practice of he loves me, he loves me not, that kind of thing, where you're, going from petal to petal and reflecting those different things. And then when you look at the center actually has thousands of new seeds at the center of this perspective that you're seeking to understand where it is and it isn't. So it's all these different perspectives that are ready to just blossom and bloom of being able to have new things to consider. So the curiosity is the center of the daisy. And the petals are things that we're basically pondering upon to say, it is this or it isn't this. And I thought that was really an interesting way of looking at it when you're, having it so defined so quickly. It is or it isn't. When there's that gray area that can be something that we can really look at that can be really unlimited possibilities when we're willing to open and be curious of, like, what else is here for me?
Well, and it's even a great exercise when I'm working with somebody that is really struggling with making a decision, which, belief is you're making a decision, right? What am I going to believe?
Mm-hmm.
I think, like you had said earlier, Robin, that we may have beliefs because, I just have them. Well, you probably got them from your parents or TV
mm-hmm.
or a friend
mm-hmm.
or someplace, right? And
mm-hmm.
and so as we mature, and like you were saying, Alana, that we start looking at that, and go, oh, do I believe that? Do I not believe that? So what I'll have people do is they have two jobs that they think they'd really like to have. And so luckily they have a little bit of time to think about it or be with it. They do different things depending on how much time they have. But this particular person, they would have been drastically different jobs, but she would have loved both of them. So what I had her do is imagine that you said yes to one of the jobs and acted for a day that you had said yes to that. And then do a Scooby-Doo moment, and take that away. And then imagine for the next 24 hours that you said yes to the other one. And then we had a discussion, what was that experience like? And through that, she was able to say, it felt so much better for 24 hours saying yes to this one than to that one.
Good.
So maybe like with the daisy, he loves me, he loves me not. Maybe spending some time, okay, so what if he doesn't love me? What does that feel like? And he loves me, what does that feel like? So it's almost like playing with a belief. For 24 hours, I'm going to say, I totally believe this. And then the next 24 hours, say, I believe the complete opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Or somewhere in the middle. I guess, there isn't always a complete yes or no.
I think that's, I think there are people who really have to choose, have this kind of pull that they feel like they have to.
Alana, however you want to come at this, but I know with your, I even hate to put words on it because I don't want to, make a decision on how you did it. But with your changing from being a part of the Mormon faith to not being part of that, was that a yes or a no, or were there stages in between, or however you want to answer that question?
Sure. I think there was 25, I was a member of the church for 25 years.
Wow.
And I honor that so much because I learned so much from that faith and the people in that religion, from the leaders. And while I don't hold to those tenets anymore, and I don't believe that that is the one true way to get to God, it was definitely some doubt. I had a good, healthy dose of doubt for 25 years. And
the whole time? So you felt like you doubted the whole time?
Yes, that's why that helped my unbelief all these.
Oh, that's fascinating. Because a lot of times there's that honeymoon period, right, where you just swallow everything whole.
Well, I think I swallowed everything whole, but I still had a little bit of That tasted a little weird,
I love that. It tasted a little weird. I love that.
And so I would try to smother it in doing more and trying to be more and trying to. I felt like if I just kept running faster and doing more and serving more and squashing my doubts more, that it would eventually some miraculous thing would happen inside me where I would just never doubt again. That just never happened. I just always doubted. And then there were some policies that were coming out in 2015 against the LGBTQ community that I just could not disregard.
So there was another belief in there, right, that was fighting another belief, that's fascinating,
exactly.
Right? Wow.
Yes.
And again, so we're not talking about any particular religion. Any particular religion or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
We're just looking at our own beliefs. And how he makes sense of that. So I want to be clear about that. Wow, that's really fascinating. So it's almost so I had a vision. Because Robin is gets under my skin. That it was like you have a garden and different weeds are coming up. But then of course we always have this conversation: what's a weed and what's a flower? Well, that's somebody's belief, right?
It's a judgment. Yeah, it's a belief.
Somebody decided that at some point. So that's just really fascinating that the other beliefs come up that might have been weeds, but eventually they might become the real flowers in your garden.
They're the things that sustain you.
Because
it's like some people think dandelions are the weed. But yet if you cultivated those dandelions and you made them a part of your meals and it helped to detox your system and everything else, you can go to Whole Foods stores, and boy, you pay big bucks for dandelion greens. And here they may be wanting to just grow where you live.
Well, again, right,
that's
a matter of
help to balance you. Yeah.
Instead of trying to get rid of all of them, all of a sudden you're cultivating them, and they have value because you've changed a belief about it. You change a belief from it's a weed and it's a bad thing to it's a good thing, and finding ways to bring more of it in. So, I don't think there's a clear-cut answer to this. Something about doubt for me that's coming is Mother Teresa has always been a mentor of mine. And I have read anything and everything I can get my hands on with her. As a matter of fact, a really interesting fun fact, the first place that she spoke publicly to a group of women was in Las Vegas. Isn't that crazy? So just an interesting Mother Teresa fun fact. But in reading about her, she really was at her point of retirement. She had worked in a convent for 20 years, and she was about ready to retire, and she was on a train going someplace to whatever, a conference or meeting or something, and Jesus, she felt, came to her and said, you need to go to Calcutta and work with the poorest of the poor. And she's like, you know, basically, you know, I already did my career. I'm done. But she was like, okay, I'll go. And she didn't have the support of the church. And, I mean, there's a lot to it, and it's really an amazing story and what she created from that. But the thing that's been poignant to me right now is she talked about how she had this clear, defining moment that there was no doubt at all that Jesus stood with her, that he was holding with her and her mission, and then for many years she never felt that again. And there were a lot of letters written with her to her superiors about that, how depressed she was, and she asked that all of those get burned. They didn't. Some of those were found and they were talked about. And honestly, I'm really grateful that those have come forward, because it helps me to know somebody I value so much, has mentored me through her work, also had doubt, tremendous doubt, but she still carried on.
That's interesting you're talking about doubt, because I just love the story about Abraham Lincoln. When they found him after he had gotten shot, they were going through his personal belongings, and he had in his wallet an article from a reporter that had come from overseas. It was just this wonderful cover story about him and all the things he was doing for America, and that, you know, what a strong leader he was. And that article had been opened and closed lots of times, and it was in his wallet for him to look at it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was that sort of, you know, reminding himself of why am I here and the fact that I am making a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And those days when you just doubt yourself.
And I think doubt, like you're saying, Alana, I think is a really good thing, and I'm so grateful that you're able to realize that. And your husband and you are both in that phase. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
So you both had
we both joined together. I joined at 18. He joined at 19, and then we left together.
Wow, that's and I'm assuming there was a lot of conversations about his beliefs and your beliefs.
There were conversations about what, like afterwards, after we left, or after, because I just said basically I'm never going back. You know, he was like, "Are we going to church tomorrow? Are we going to?" It was just this abrupt. Are we going to church tomorrow? No, I'm never going back. Is what I said.
Wow.
He was like, okay. And then he said, "All right, well, you know, we're going to talk about it." I was like, "Sure." And you know, and I talked to him about it. And then we had a, you know, late night sit in the bathroom, which was weird. We had this carpeted bathroom. We both sat on the bathroom floor. And
wow.
Because we wanted to get away from our kids, like stay far away
sure.
from our kids, you know. And
sure,
we were, and we just, we wrote down in my, I still have it in my journal, what are the, so if we don't believe in this, what do we believe in? What are the, what are our core values? What are our, why are we doing the things that we're doing, you know?
Wow.
What's important to us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You have to change the reasons why we did things, because before we wouldn't drink coffee or drink alcohol because we were told not to, you know?
Right.
And so if we were going to choose to do that now, or if we were going to choose to not do that now, what was our core motivation?
Wow.
You know?
I love that.
Mm-hmm. It was eye-opening for both of us.
Mm-hmm. Wow, and how great for your relationship.
Yeah, I think it's definitely... our relationship is much stronger outside of the church.
Mm-hmm. Well, because you're really defining what you each believe and what you believe together, right?
And also giving each other the grace to get, either to that he does not have to believe exactly what I believe. Like I love to go to church. I love to be part of going to the UU church in down Dallas. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
For him, he's like, that is not worth 45 minutes of my drive time, you know? and he just doesn't feel the need, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, but before, I would, if he didn't want to go to church or if I didn't want to go to church, we were, you know, oh my gosh, your eternal salvation is at stake, you know? But now it's just, oh, okay, cool. You want to lay in the bed? fine, you know, that's cool. Wow. I'm going to go up here and have coffee with my peeps, you know. And
that
so,
is so great.
Yeah. So, it's, I mean, it's, so I feel really like there's so much more grace to give it to each other now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's because you're really honoring, you know, what you both truly believe, again, individually and together. I mean, that's really beautiful. So I'd like to talk a little bit, or not necessarily talk about it, but kind of want to point people to the reflective questions. And one thing that really being with going through the Faith for the Unbeliever Facilitator Guide that Daniel and Gretchen created, it's amazing. But there's four different classes based on each of the four parts, the panes of the window, and they're 90 minutes each. So I want to encourage you to go through the book, you know, yourself with us, or thank you for doing that, and going through these reflective questions, getting, you know, a journal I think would be good, talking with other people would be good. And so looking at the guide, there's a lot of great stuff in there, but I would challenge you to get clear on your own beliefs and going through this process before you go to that discussion guide and maybe bring other people in, but certainly that's up to you. But looking at the guide, a couple of questions that came out of that I wanted to bring to the table that I thought were really good and came out of the conversation with Daniel, that in the discussion guide he says, what in the chapter challenged or intrigued you? I love that question. So, you know, just that could be a good starting point to kind of go through what challenged or intrigued you. And what do you set your heart upon? And we're going to, in our mindful moment, you know, really end with that. But with the questions at the end, did you guys get a chance to answer them?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just read the questions because we're going to run up on time here real quick. And then we'll come back if, you know, either one of you feel like there's some part that you really want to share. But I think the questions in and of themselves are really amazing. First, what do you believe is true for you? How do you know these things? What do you base these beliefs on? And like that wonderful bathroom conversation that you guys had, I'm sure it didn't cover everything, but it was a good way to start. And then from there, if you were talking to the wisest, most trustworthy sage in the world, do you think that person might let you hold on to those beliefs, or would that person challenge them? All right, Linda, what do you guys think?
I would hope that anybody who is the wisest, most trustworthy sage in the world would challenge me in my beliefs.
Amen. Yes. Okay, that's what I was thinking too. How about you, Robin?
I see, and I totally did the opposite because he'd be so wise. He knows that through the process of life and through your experiences that, you know, your perceptions and your sense of beliefs will change.
Mm-hmm.
Just allowing you the freedom to grow on your own. Is that what you're saying, Robin?
That two-sided coin, yeah. But
I don't believe what you're believing that I'm believing. So that's what I'm just saying. So that's why we come to the table, right?
That was like he was wise. Yeah, he was wise, and so he would. You know, it's just like an older person when they see you struggling with something. It seems like as people get older, there isn't such a need to correct.
Well, from the viewpoint of challenge,
it might be
directional.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe the challenge part, but I think definitely offering you the opportunity, like Alana had said earlier, she didn't feel like she had the opportunity to doubt. So maybe that,
right?
Giving you that opportunity to doubt, not necessarily challenge, because challenge and religion don't go well together for people who've been in situations. So
yeah, well, I think it's anything, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I believe, yes, you're correct. Good answer, Robin. You are correct. Okay. Now, and totally incorrect at the same time. Okay. So then the fourth question, what is a belief that once worked for you but doesn't any longer? And this is good. Can you discard it? Ooh. And then last but not least, what do you doubt? So, I mean, those are really big questions, and I think could really, you know, support you, you know, going forward. And I say we're right up against time, and it's been a lovely conversation. But where I want to leave you, and really what came to me about the mindset moment, is I want you to support you, not challenge you, but support you, in being with what do you set your heart upon for this week? and really take a couple minutes of stillness and be with what does that look like. Did either of you have an answer for what do you set your heart upon this week?
I think more, and for me, it's a matter of really trusting your heart in the guidance that you need to do in each moment. In
trusting your heart,
you're going to trust
my heart?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm trusting my heart.
Okay.
So.
Oh, your heart. Okay.
I think for me this week, you know, what am I going to set my heart upon this week? I'm just working, you know, I told you guys I've started this diet and exercise program.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just really working on believing that I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
I can be successful. Because it's hard to believe in yourself when you're struggling so hard and you're out of breath and you're sweating, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But believing in my own strength, believing in my own resolve.
Wow.
That's
great. Well, we will hold with you looking at that belief and with healthy doubt and how do you make, you know, how do you have enough belief that you keep moving, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And I guess for me, what I've really set my heart on is this week is really looking at, what do I believe and what do those beliefs mean for me and what work I'm doing now and going forward and who I'm working with.
Right.
Bada-boom.
Bada-boom. So next week we're doing trust, and we really, as we did last week, really encourage people and listen to this show. Before you even read the chapter, you know, write down what you think trust is for you now before you read the chapter and being able to look at that. And then once we go through everything, go ahead and look at the questions at the end of the chapter. And just to remind you, too, if you go to Transformation Cafe Community, there's a link there that you can go ahead and download the workbook for free. Daniel was very generous and made that available to everybody. You can go ahead and check that. And just let us know what your thoughts and ideas and maybe your favorite questions that are really helping you to be in a place of growing and looking at the world from just a little bit different perspective.
Well, I want to thank you both for this sacred space to, you know, feel safe enough to, you know, play with my curiosity about my beliefs, and I really honor you both. And I know I've been getting feedback that this is providing that for other people. So yay us. Yay them.
Yeah. Very, very glad. Yeah. And what is this amazing book? You know, it's small but mighty.
Small but mighty.
Yeah.
Just like all of us.
That's right.
Maybe that's what I'll put my heart upon this week. Small but mighty.
There you go. Small but mighty.
Every step I take when I'm working out is small but mighty. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, ladies, as always, for the cafe. And thank you for everybody a part of our community. We really appreciate you. And have a great week.
Love you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.